Though the grass withers and the flower fades, the word of the Lord stands forever. So let us hear the word of the Lord. From Luke chapter 24. Now on that same day, two of them were going from a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and taking with each other about the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood silent and sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place and where they happen these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all his people, and how the chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. And we hope that he would redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day. And since these things took place, moreover, some women in our group astounded us. They went to the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back and told us that indeed they had seen visions of angels that said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found just as the women had said, but they did not see him."
Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as though he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now already or nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of the Lord. Some have called Lent a journey, a walk on the way to Easter. We have taken that image of Lent and decided this Lent to do a series of sermons on this passage of Scripture about a walk. This passage is about a walk that happened while Jesus was revealing himself in his resurrection. But many have seen through the ages that this story is also a kind of template or a parable or an allegory to how the Holy Spirit comes with us in our own journeys of faith and of life. And so we will walk with this story through Lent. We will read it on each of 4 Sundays in hopes that you will learn this story in time. I will preach 3 of those sermons, and Reverend Brown will preach the 4th. We have divided the story into 4 themes. The first is burning. The second, staying. The third, flipping. The 4th, going. This Sunday, burning. Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, come as holy fire and burn in us. Come as holy wind and cleanse us within. Come as holy light and lead us in the darkness. Come as holy truth and dispel our ignorance. Come as holy power and enable us in our weakness. Come as holy life and dwell in us. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us, until we are set free from the service of ourselves to be your servants in the world. Amen. So we work backwards in the story, using burning as a theme to talk about the walking part of this story, the 7 miles between Jerusalem and Emmaus. That is the scene for the first part of this story. But we don't hear the word burning about this time until the very end of the story, after Cleopas and his companion have recognized Jesus. They recognize Jesus and suddenly they say, well, we kind of knew it all along. Was not our hearts burning within us as he walked with us along the road? Burning begins with a questioning. An intuition, a sort of wondering or a doubting or a wrestling or a kind of mixture of despair and restlessness and excitement, or even a nagging hope that just won't leave you where you are. Our disciples were sad, the scripture says, but they might not have been only sad, for they were also thinking, wrestling, exploring. They were going out into the world to try to find answers for all that was going on and the rumors about that the tomb was empty. This is not a bad image for faith, do you think? We talk about faith as having a content, what we believe. We talk about faith as having a set of practices. We do one this morning when we gather for worship. But faith also has a feel to it. Faith is perhaps a Jesus-ignited burning inside of us, in our hearts. Not defined, but something that just pushes us forward. I have mentioned John Wesley from this pulpit before, the founder of the movement called Methodism in the church. Wesley describes his own second blessing in faith. He was already an active minister or priest in the Church of England, but he recalls being in the church called Aldersgate when he heard a worship service take place like he had never heard before. And he describes his heart being, you've heard the term perhaps, strangely warmed, something stirring inside, as though a question that he had forgot to ask, as though a wonderment that came upon him from where he did not know, something that compelled him to rethink everything, to start over again, to discover the deeper meaning of all that he had already been doing so he could take it out in new ways in his own life and in the world, a heart strangely warmed, a burning within. So Cleopas and his companion are walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and suddenly a third person comes alongside. We know it's Jesus, but they don't. And they say, he asks them, what are you talking about? And with sort of a strange wonderment, they say, are you the only person who doesn't know what's going on? And they describe all that's been happening in Jerusalem and the rumors that the tomb is empty and all that they're trying to figure out. They had been following Jesus for a long time, but did not know what was happening then. And Jesus gently chides them and then retells the scriptures. Retells the story in a whole new way. Who is this one who comes alongside Cleopas and his companions? He is a friend. He is a stranger. And he is a teacher. So he is potentially for each one of us and for us as a gathered community called the church. He is a friend. This is what we want, isn't it? We don't want to feel alone. We don't want to feel that as we walk just by ourselves. We want to feel that there is a companion with us. Perhaps we are more comfortable with that aspect of the faith. We gather and organize ministries around that kind of idea of Jesus as a companion or a comfort in times of perplexity, a guide in times of uncertainty, an encourager in times of passion and possibility, a friend with us when we need such a friend. So we stand with each other in hospital rooms and in bedsides and in times of joy in our lives and times of sorrow, as a friend would, and we call on God to be our friend. And that's good. But you know that in the Hebrew tradition, a friend is more than one with whom you share an affinity or a feeling. A friend is the one you allow to do something for you. If you let someone else do something for you, they are your friend. Friendship is a work. From the Old Testament straight through the New. Remember Jesus' words when he says, there is no one is more a friend than the one who lays down their life for another. So also, this Jesus comes alongside and does something for these two even before they know who he is. Someone can be a stranger and still be a friend. So this Jesus is also a stranger. There is a word in this text, and you heard it. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know what has been happening these last days? There's no reason in the text for Jesus to be called a stranger, is there? Unless Luke wants us to know that he's a stranger. At that time in the ancient Near East, you could tell where someone was from by how their clothing was embroidered, each village with its own stitch, each village with its own accent. You were identified by where you were from and where you were not from. They did not know this was Jesus, but they knew he was not a Jerusalemite. They knew he was a stranger. So too with us. Part of our growth in faith is recognizing that Jesus is also a stranger to us as well as a friend. Jesus is with us and yet different. Jesus is accessible and available to all cultures, all experiences, all ethnicities. Jesus is not one of us, but is with us. Jesus comes alongside us as one who calls us to new experiences, to new encounters, to discover new things, to be with those who are not like us, to be with the poor, to be with those who have never experienced what we've experienced, to be with those who struggle, to be with those who, through gender or sexuality or race or creed or experience or economic position in life, can tell stories different from what we can tell. And yet Jesus is theirs too. So our journey in faith is to discover the stranger Jesus as well as the friend, so that we might discover new things about ourselves and about our world and about our God through him. So you can be a stranger and a friend and also a teacher. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days? Really, he's the only one who does know. That's the humor in the text. These two were with Jesus for a long time, and yet they still had things to learn. So as Jesus gently chides them, he opens their world up in all sorts of new ways. Jesus is a friend. Jesus is a stranger. Jesus is our teacher. Jesus would take us into new ways of seeing the world, Jesus will not ever simply confirm us, but will also expand our views. Oh, how I wish for each one of you to be actively involved in some form of ongoing learning about your faith, about how to see through the lens of faith the world in which you live, the world in which you are driven by a burning to know more, beginning with Scripture, but moving out from Scripture into all forms of learning. And would it be that we shaped our life together as a congregation so that the thirst that we would share together for learning and knowing more would push us forward, that we would be always catching up to our desire to explore the depths and the riches of the faith that we share together, open to knowing and learning new things, being patient with each other from whatever point we are in our own life and faith, and encouraging each other along the way without judgment, without impatience, but with love. Would it be that you pushed us from behind? And so I should do a little repentance here too, for the sake of the professional staff and lay leaders of the church, a little repentance and request for forgiveness for all the ways in which we let ourselves understandably get distracted from the core of our mission to worship, walk, and learn together. Because that is what Jesus does with us. So remember that poem, read as a prayer from our book of worship. Come, O Holy Spirit. Come as holy fire and burn in us. Come as holy wind and cleanse us from within. Come as holy light and lead us in the darkness. Come as holy truth and dispel our ignorance. Come as holy power and enable us in our weakness. Come as holy life and dwell in us. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us until we are set free from the service of ourselves to be your servants in the world. Amen.